everybody, and welcome to episode 136 of Rain Delay Radio. I'm Pat, and I am once again joined by Dylan. Dylan, how are you on this Sunday?
Just another day of the Braves taking the Mets to town. So, you know, how much better could I ask for out of a random day in August?
You know, as much as I won't say hate the Braves' success, because I don't hate the Braves, but dislike the success, I love watching them just stomp on the Mets. Like the 21-3 game, that was yesterday, right?
Yeah.
Oh my God, that was beautiful.
Oh yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Matt Olson having more home runs than Mets or Braves losses is insane to me.
He is going crazy right now. Like, just, you know, we weren't going to talk about this, but we can just squeeze it into the top. Like, the top four MVP guys for the NL look like they're Braves and Dodgers. And one of those Dodgers is Freddie Freeman.
He's a former Brave, yeah.
Former Brave. So, and then Mookie would be the, you know, second or third in line there. So that's, you know, the Braves have just had such tremendous success. And Matt Olson is certainly a significant part of that. He's on pace to have the best power season in Braves history. And considering the number of guys that have been on this team, that is a pretty wild thing to think about.
Yeah. I wish I could say my baseball Sunday was just as good, but unfortunately the Phillies lost to Alex McKay. So not as good.
I don't think I even know who that is.
So he was the home plate umpire in today's game that called those outrageous pitch calls.
That was not. I was like, is that like a, you know, prospect that I've never heard of, or like a guy like a retread? No, it's just the umpire.
He's not even a major league ump. He's a call up ump.
Yeah.
So the Phillies lost to a call up ump today.
There were some pretty questionable calls in the mix for sure. I did not.
Pretty outrageous.
Yeah.
So getting into this, we're going to start with this. So we're aware that there's a lot of rumors going around with Wander Franco right now. We're not going to go in depth or really talk about these until any legit information comes from a legit source. What we do know is that the Rays and MLB are aware of the rumors and are doing their own investigation. Franco did not play today, but Kevin Cash said that this was due to a scheduled day off. So it's really all we're going to say about those rumors. I don't want to get too much more into it because it makes me sick to talk about even. But, you know, that's that. Getting into next, an actual suspension that happened that was absurdly stupid. And just another blight on the horrid ownership of the Baltimore Orioles is the O's suspended broadcaster Kevin Brown, who is an incredible broadcaster, by the way. They suspended him for statements that he made about the O's struggles in Tampa Bay. So, like, this guy's doing his job and bringing up legitimate stats about how the O's have struggled playing in Tampa Bay, and they decided to suspend him. A lot of broadcasters around the league rallied behind Brown and were blasting the O's on live broadcasts for the suspension. Brown was reinstated on Friday.
Yeah. Pretty weird.
It's messed up.
He had a statement coming back, and, you know, people welcomed him back. I was glad he's back, but he had a statement saying, like, there's no ill will between me and the Orioles. Love being here. Love, you know, there's no hard feelings or nothing, no big deal here. But it kind of felt like, and, you know, I don't want to, like, crap on what he said or anything, but it felt like a hostage, you know. Then, oh, no, it's fine, you know. Like, there's no red dot pointed at my forehead, you know. It's like, it felt very like, you know, he's trying to bury the hatchet, which is obviously, like, the professional and good thing to do.
Right.
But just the idea of it. When you saw the video, I think this was the natural reaction of most people, was like, oh my God, he's going to say like a slur or something, isn't he? You
know? Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Like, he said something racist. Like,
what slur is he going to say now? Yeah. But, and there's nothing. He's just doing his job as a broadcaster. Like,
I thought the most, you know, he literally was just talking about how bad the Orioles had been in Tropicana, right? Which is just like, the truth, you know, they were 0-15-1 in the last 16 series in Tampa. And I thought the most, like, the only thing that you could even possibly, like, been like, well, I don't know if that was in great taste, was the graphic that was, like, Tropical Depression or something like that. Which, like, still doesn't, like, it's just a pun, you know?
I mean, it's just a pun. Like,
I couldn't even
the Phillies think when about when they struggle against teams, they've put up graphics like that before. This works. It's like, haha, we've struggled against the Cubs or whatever, you know?
Yeah. It was just mind-blowing. And so I talked to, this past episode, I talked to my friend Chase Kitty, who works with BetMGM, does a podcast for them called The Lion's Edge, but he's an Orioles fan. And, you know, we were talking about, you know, how amazing this season has been for them, the amazing run they're on, you know, how serious this is going to be. And, but, you know, there is this lingering part of it that a lot of these big teams haven't had to deal with necessarily. And it's like, it feels like the Orioles are in a position where their ownership is actively negative. It's not just like I think people got annoyed by the Cubs ownership, you know, and then like, I don't think the Astros ownership is like great, but clearly they were willing to spend money and let things go as they will. But like the Orioles ownership and like kind of their upper tier of decision makers are like actively harmful, I feel like, to the Orioles, which is like, it's a really big hurdle for them because they got all these great players. Like I got to see Jackson Holliday on Tuesday. That was really exciting. You know, and all the ones that are already obviously in Baltimore. But like, is this a serious organization still? You know, for so long it wasn't. Right, they get still pumped out some good players, but like this is clearly the team most set up going forward in the American League, at least if you want to count the Braves or whoever else to be that in the National League. But like among the upper crust of, hey, this team's going to be serious every single year for a while. But how much can we really trust them to make like the right decisions when you got stuff like this, where the ownership and whoever is making these decisions are willing to suspend a guy because there weren't fans of, you know, not even negative talk. The thing was literally like, this is a big opportunity for the Orioles to do something they haven't done in a while. And somehow that's misconstrued as you're talking crap about the team that you work for. And I'm just like, this doesn't make sense.
I just have no faith in the O's organization as far as a management perspective whatsoever.
Yeah.
Like, this offseason, they absolutely should have spent money on pitching.
Yeah.
Because I think we all kind of saw that, like, yeah, they got something special here that they could do this season. And it's like, you're going to roll into the playoffs with Kyle Gibson as your game one starter. Okay, I watched Kyle Gibson pitch for the Phillies for 2 years. This is a guy you don't want as your game one starter, man. You know, it's...
Could also be Kyle Bradish, which, like, he's a better pitcher, but it's like, you know...
Or Jack Flaherty, man. Yeah. Like, they're a disaster, man. Like, props to the team for performing well, but I feel like that's going to be a management and ownership that holds them back from being as great as they can be.
Yeah, I think, and this is another big part of the podcast we just had on Monday, was that I think this, you know, this playoff run for them will probably be just like icing on the cake for a really fun season. But if the offseason is going to be really interesting because it's going to be the first time where they're like, okay, well now we're going to win, you know, like there's no like, oh, we're just playing around, you know, it's like, this is like a team built to win now. And this offseason is going to be a really crucial time to see like how they address the things that they need to do to be like a perennial contender. Do they extend the young guys? Do they sign pitchers? Do they trade young guys? You know? You know, I'm not saying that it's like impossible, but like, this is not the kind of stuff that you do if you're like a serious organization that's on its way to a pennant. You know, they're like separating themselves out number one, you know, like it's growing. Yeah. And so it's like, I mean, look at what Cedric Mullins did today. Like, goodness gracious, you know, like they still got an awesome team and they're probably going to be the number one seed or number two seed at worst. But, you know, I hope, with the Orioles, and then there's other teams, the Reds, I think, fall under this, is like, they have so much fun talent. There's so many fun things that can go right. But if the people at the very top don't take this seriously, they could squander all of it. And that's what I'm worried about.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens here with the Orioles. It's the NL East is nowhere near locked up. We'll talk about that in a little bit. I'm sorry, the AL East, not the NL East. NL East is pretty much locked up. But getting into the NL East, I'm going to admit that I was wrong here. during the trade deadline podcast, I felt like that Michael Lorenzen was not the acquisition that the Phillies should have made. Well, he proved me wrong by going out and throwing a no-hitter for the Phillies this week, which was awesome. Like this is our first no-hitter since Cole Hamels in his final game as a Philly, but I was wrong. I will admit I was wrong. I'm a big fan of Lorenzen now. Like, I like the vibes this guy has, and like, very impressive to go out there and do that. And he's performed, man. 8 innings, his first start as a Philly, only allowing 2 runs, and then the no-hitter, his second start. Like, he's pretty cool. And I think the other big thing to talk about here with the Phillies is like the ovation that happened for Trey Turner and how that's kind of not only rallied him, but kind of the whole team around it. So there's a Philly fan called the Philly Captain. He has a TikTok YouTube channel, but he goes to every game and he started this idea of, you know, let's not boo Trey Turner. Let's give him a standing ovation and, you know, let him know, hey man, we're here for you. We're behind you. And you know, he came to bat and he got the huge ovation. And, you know, he grounded out and whatnot, but like, is a game against the Royals and he got a hit in the first game where he got the ovation. Then the next game he comes up in a clutch spot and it's a huge 3-run home run to put the Phillies on top, and then has a double after that. And since that ovation, he's been hitting .436 with 2 homers, 10 runs driven in, 6 runs scored, and he's got a 10-game hitting streak. You know, for a town that we're often called negative and like the media likes to rag on us as savages and all that, we give this guy a standing ovation and it turns his season around. And like all the players that play for the team have come out and said, like, you know, this is it's a special place to play. We've never seen anything like this. Where the fans are like a 10th man in the lineup, you know, where they rally behind you. Like Lorenzen even mentioned that during his no-hitter, he was feeding off the energy and adrenaline in the crowd that they were giving him to go out there and finish that off. It's impressive where we've come from, I guess, as a fan base, as to what the media portrays us as.
Yeah, and as personally, as someone that's not invested in your fan base, I'm just glad that he is turning it on for my fantasy team. Because I chose him over Ronald Acuña in my fantasy league.
I did too. And I had the first overall pick in my league, I'm and like, I took him.
Oh
over
man,
Acuña.
Trey Turner
I've been beating myself
Trey
up.
Trey Turner's
over
gonna
it.
Hit 30 home runs and steal 6 or 80 bases. Is literally what I thought in my head. And then, yep, of course, Acuña is just literally doing that exact thing. You know, and for me, I was just like, yep, I don't want to throw too many eggs in my own favorite player's basket, and don't I look like a moron? Anyway, happy for Trey Turner.
Yeah.
It's
nice to see.
That's things like that I don't, you know, I never know how much that stuff matters that much. Is maybe he's just also getting on a hot streak or whatever, but it is really tough when you're in those situations and someone's up to plate and no one in the building thinks that they can do anything, you know, and it's just like,
yeah,
everyone's just defeated as you take your first swing. And I think players can probably feel that too. Like Braves fans felt that during the peak of, you know, the BJ Upton slumps and Marcell Ozuna's from earlier this year and last year for, you know, he's turned it around a little bit, but like Dan Uggla, like they've had these guys where it's just like, oh my God, like we can't keep doing this, you know? And when it's a guy that you paid $300 million, it's like, oh man, this is like a, you know, that's like a full disaster. Obviously he's going to have some value because he's a shortstop and he's still super fast, but it's like, oh man, like this was headed for like a really dark place if they didn't kind of get figured out.
Right.
So I'm glad that at least some Philly fans decided, hey, like, let's see if we can influence this at all positively. Because, you know, maybe he needed something like that. And, you know, and you mentioned Lorenzen, like you were not a fan of that pickup, and you know what is?
I wasn't, man. Like, I mean, I liked it for the aspect that, like,
yeah,
it was going to like help the rotation, but like We needed a bullpen arm so badly.
And then he's basically saving you bullpens just by throwing. I mean, he had 8 innings in his first one. Like, his first one was great, too.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe by the time you get to the postseason, if you don't want him. So, I mean, the Phillies seem to be safe for the wild card at this point. Like, I mean, obviously things can change, but like, they're the only team that's like even moderately winning that's in the wild card race.
Yeah. Well, I think over the last 60 games, they've got the second best record in baseball behind the Braves.
I saw. I don't know if they'll be first, second, or third, but they should be safely in the wild card mix now. And so they'll probably need 3 guys at the top, and the top 2 are obvious. We'll see kind of what they choose as far as the rest, but you know, Lorenzen can go to the bullpen. That has been his natural spot for a long time. You know, whether he wanted it that way or not, I don't know, but you know, he was a hard throwing reliever before he did, you know, this kind of stuff. So maybe he can do that in the postseason, or, you know, like, just be like the spot starter or whatever. Like, maybe he's just your number 3 starter now. Maybe he's just that good, you know, who knows?
It's going to be interesting to see, and this can honestly get us into our wild card race talk, but like, I wonder if the Phillies are going to do with Ranger what they did last year and use him in kind of a hybrid role as a starter and a reliever, because that worked for them last year. So I'm curious if that's what they'll do in the playoffs this year with going Wheeler. I don't even want to roll Nolan out as
I know what you're saying, but like, you can't.
They're going to. They're gonna. You can't Wheeler, Nola, Lorenzen, and I guess Taijuan Walker. But like, I don't even feel good about Walker right now, just because he walks like everyone.
Walker's an interesting one too, because I don't think he would work in a bullpen. You know, just because of the way he pitches, is just not.
You kind of have to start him.
He's kind of just like innings, you know, and easy effort.
He's basically your Joe Lanton start.
But if you have maybe Ranger and Michael Lorenzen are kind of on standby, you know, and if one of them needs to come in, that's great. And then if you need one next, it goes to whoever's left, you know.
And they've got Christopher Sanchez, too, who was really good as the fifth starter for a bit there.
So they got, you know, they have a really clear pathway. Obviously, Harper moving to first base helped them out a lot. We talked about how disastrous their defense has been. You know.
Oh, dude, I love Johan Rojas.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
He's so sick as a fielder. And I can't wait for Pache to get back, too.
So, you know, they seem like they're kind of firmly in control of their situation at the very least. And Lorenzen has been a, you know, surprise kind of hero for them. Then they're going to give them, they have like 5, you know, 6 starters or whatever. They said they're going to have 3 extra days off. So they can basically just run. If these guys need a break, they got a guy now, which a lot of teams did not have. Like, if the Braves were like, hey, Spencer, we need to give you a few days off. You know, they have not nearly as many options as the Phillies, even though there might be a better team. So very few guys have like 6 rotation guys they at least reasonably trust. So that's pretty exciting.
It's weird having that depth after everything that I've seen from this team over the last few years.
Yeah, it tends to be 1-2 and like a, you know, deep desert.
Kyle Gibson.
Yeah.
So going off of that, looking at the wild card races, I have the current wild card standings up right now. In the American League, we currently have wild card 1 belonging to Tampa Bay at 71-49. Wild card 2 belonging to the Astros at 68-51. Wild card 3 belonging to the Blue Jays at 66-54. But then you have Seattle and Boston, who are 1.5 games and 3 games back of that third spot. And actually, Seattle held the third spot for a bit.
Yeah.
It was yesterday, which is wild.
They're on fire.
And then the Yankees are 5 back, and the Angels are 6.5 back. But I think the Angels might be done.
I mean, they certainly aren't playing like a team that want to get in.
They haven't produced since making all those moves. Like, they went all in and, like, it's not worked out.
I'm kind of like, I'm just looking at it myself, and you're listening this off, and they're the next team. I'm shocked how far down the Guardians are.
Yeah.
Like, even with all the criticism I think we just permanently have about how they run their team, they always are just like, well, they got 86 wins, so screw it. You know, they proved me wrong. And they're competitive against blah, blah, blah. And this, like, they're just not good. Like, they got a lot of problems. And I know their entire rotation got hurt, but, like, their offense is so bad. And they're just, they're scuffling. Like, they're scuffling as much as any of these other teams are. And they're supposed to be, you know, trying to compete with the Twins, who aren't exactly even a good team.
I'm looking at this, and I just want to mention Oakland real quick. 33-85 with a minus 284 run differential.
Yeah, minus 284 is really fun.
It's good lord.
Zach Gelof's doing stuff.
Zach Gelof, man, yeah. Going over to the National League, we've got the Phillies with the first wildcard spot at 65-54. We've got San Francisco with the second spot at 63-55. Miami, 62-57 in the third spot. And then I think the NL has the most fun wildcard situation right now. You got the Cubs at 61-57, the Reds at 61-58, the Diamondbacks at 59-59. All a half a game to a game to 2.5 games out of that third spot.
The Reds and Diamondbacks have just
totally collapsed. Yeah.
And the Reds, I probably saw it coming because of how bad their pitching is. You know, they're relying on a rookie, like a solid rookie, but, you know, not one that was like, oh, this guy's just going to light the world on fire. They're relying him to be like the number one starter. And what do you know? Like, I mean, immediately once the trade deadline happens, they gave up like 60 runs to the Cubs in like three games or whatever. And then, you know, they've just been scuffling. Ellie has just been going through his regular rookie wall, which is probably what you should have expected.
Yeah.
And the team is just not, I mean, they just can't pitch. And then Arizona, I mean, I think when we talked about the deadline stuff, we were kind of confused about their deadline approach. And, you know, they were kind of scuffling already, right? They hadn't won a series since the All-Star break. Or some crazy thing like that. I think the last time they won a series before today was against the Braves in like early June or something. And so they had barely been shutting down. And then their answer to that was, let's get Paul Sewald, but also trade away another good reliever, you know? And I'm not saying Andrew Chafin's like going to save the day or anything, but like it was so half in, half out. And then they've just been in the gutter ever since.
Right. Yeah, it's weird. I mean, I felt like Arizona had like the best chance to keep up in the wild card race, and then them just like they're 2-8 in their last 10.
Yeah.
As are the Reds 2-8 in their last 10. But the Cubs, I think the Cubs made the right deadline moves by going in, because they've got a shot to take that third spot from Miami.
Yeah.
Because Miami certainly has been scuffling as well. They're 4-6 in their last 10. Giants are 4-6 in their last 10. You know, really, of these wild card contenders right now, it's the Phillies and Cubs that have been
actually playing
delivering.
Well.
Yeah.
Yeah, like the Giants, you could throw in with that Diamondbacks group. They haven't been as bad in the last 2 weeks, but like if you look back in the last month, like they were, because they were like lockstep with the Dodgers. You know, it's over the Diamondbacks. And the Giants have fallen off. The Giants just can't hit. Like, they can pitch, but they can't hit at all right now. They got bailed out today by a line drive home run by Patrick Bailey that gave him the home, that gave him the victory today. But, you know, just really lack of any significant punch in that lineup up and down. And they've tried a bunch of different things, and none of it's really sticking outside of Wilmer Flores, which is not like you don't want Wilmer Flores to be your best guy. I mean, let's stay in the NL for a second, just because we're talking about the Phillies. If we're assuming the Phillies are in, like, which of these teams would you bet on? Like, what, like, because I don't really know, and I'll have my own answers, I guess. But like, do any of these teams jump out to you as like you're really confident in these teams gonna make it?
I'm confident in the Cubs, honestly. Yeah. Like, as wild as that is, I feel like the Cubs are probably gonna get in.
Well, I think they might win the division. Like, I mean,
that's very possible, dude. They're only four back, it looks like.
And like, I don't have that much confidence in the Brewers. I mean, fortunately, Christian Yelich has kind of revived himself a little bit.
Yeah.
But like, I don't have faith in their lineup, you know, and Freddy Peralta has probably been the X factor for them recently. He's been unbelievable. But like, you know, I just trust the infrastructure of what's going on with the Cubs a little bit more right now, just because they have a solid floor with a lot of their lineup and a lot of their rotation. So yeah. It would not shock me if they just got out of the wild card picture as a whole. But I guess we can probably pencil in either them or the Brewers, right? Like, it's one of them, right?
I don't think Cincinnati is going to make it. I think Miami is going to fall out and the Cubs are going to take that spot.
Mm-hmm.
And like, it's going to be Philly, San Francisco, Cubs as the top three wild card.
So you'd still have San Francisco in there.
Yeah, because they're the only other one of these teams with a positive run differential other than the Cubs and Phillies.
And the Padres.
And the Padres, but I think, dude, I have no faith
they're in the Padres. They're 3-7 in the last 10.
They're bad.
I don't
know what's happened with them. I don't know what like, I don't think anyone foresaw this for the Padres this year.
Yeah, I would still, like, this is going to sound, like, really stupid, but I would probably still think, like, I feel like the Padres have, like, just enough chance in my head that I would not dismiss them yet, you know? And I know that's not...
They've got the guys, for sure. It
doesn't mean a lot right now, because obviously they're just struggling super hard. But, yeah, I think... I would really struggle leaving them out. And I don't know if that means that I would pick them, but... Gun to my head, if you said this Giants team versus this Padres team, even with the deficit that the Padres have to make up, I think I might still go Padres just because of the guys we're talking about.
I think so as well, but like, I think it's going to take Tatis, Soto, and Bogarts going nuclear at the same time in September for them to catch up here. I mean,
it's luckily so far back.
San Francisco's in division, but it's these out of division teams like the Cubs and Marlins that you got
it's all jumbled
about.
Up. And
you don't have you don't have enough games against them to catch that.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, we're in October. It's going to be, you're going to see the Cubs playing the Central winner, which would be the Brewers probably, or the Brewers playing the Cubs. Those two are going to face off, and then you'll have San Francisco visiting the bank to play the Phillies.
Yeah.
For the other wild card spot. That's how I think the NL is going to shake out.
Yeah, I think you're pretty much right. There's a part of me that's like, I still don't want to rule out the Padres, but like, I'm fine ruling out the Reds, to be honest with you. I think the Marlins are probably fine. I just don't know if I'd take them over the Giants, but Yuri Perez is back. That's great for them. I think the Jake Berger thing was pretty good. Like, I don't think he's amazing or anything, but he's a fine hitter and they needed fine hitters, he's you know? Fun. He just walked him off today. So I think they're probably better than this skid probably shows, but they're still kind of like kind of a haphazard, weird team. I think my gut would say pick one between the Marlins and Padres to go with the Cubs and the Phillies and the Giants. I just don't have any faith in, which is probably stupid because it's the Giants. Like, they should just be fine, but I just don't really see it.
Yeah, see, I've seen enough of their BS to know.
The thing, and like, they defies logic.
We saw them win 100 games in 2021, and
with the same
here
team,
we are 2023. Yeah. Is it the odd year BS we're going to start getting now? Like I don't know with them, man.
That's
but
fair.
I think it's going to be those now. Correct me if I'm wrong, but whoever wins the 1 and 2 wildcard game plays the 1 seed in the NL, right? Or is it the 2 seed?
Say that one more time. I need to like conceptualize it.
So the Phillies, say Phillies and Giants are wildcard 1, wildcard 2. Whoever wins that game, do they get the 1 seed or the 2 seed? Because I forget if the Braves were the 1 seed last year.
I have no idea, to be honest with you. It's changed so much that I don't know, like, I don't remember if they would get the worst team that advances, Braves, or if it's like a locked.
The Braves
bracket.
The Braves were the 2 seed last year. So it looks like if the Braves lock this up as the 1 seed, they'll get the winner of Phillies, Giants. If that's the 2 wild card teams, and then the Dodgers would get
the other one. Because they wouldn't want to put one in, you know, three. They wouldn't want to give the one and the three teams. Yeah.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
God, I can't do another Phillies Braves NLDS. That was like, we won, but God, that was so stressful last year. American League. Tampa, Houston, Toronto currently have it, and then Seattle, Boston, Yankees, and the Angels to an extent. I think Tampa's going to actually end up winning the division, and Baltimore is going to have the number one slot, and then Houston at two, and then I don't know if I want to put Toronto there at the third spot.
They're weird.
It's really weird with them because like they've got a loaded lineup and a really good pitching staff, but it's also like they lose games that they should be winning.
Should it be a bigger story that Vlad is like a replacement level player this year?
I feel like we're not talking enough about it, honestly.
Like maybe slightly above average hitter, and like it's weird because he's kind of having his rookie year flashback where like he's hitting the ball so hard and so well, but it's just not going the place that it needs to be, which is high.
Right. He just smacks it in the ground.
You know, and like, then his ex-woba looks great, but it's like, yeah, well, he's not really a well-rounded hitter right now, so I don't know what that means, you know?
I had thought that the Derby was going to fix that and he'd actually start lifting the ball, but he's not.
He just looks so good when he almost won MVP. You know, if it wasn't for Shohei Ohtani being a god, you know, he wins MVP. And like he was just lifting everything and driving in people and line drives everywhere. And it's like, I don't know what happened there. And it's not that he's cooked or anything. It's just like, what value are, do we like overrate their lineup in our heads because he's there? You know, is he actually that guy right now, or is he going to be that guy in the future? I just don't know. But yeah, they're a really kind of confounding team.
So looking at the Blue Jays here, here's this interesting thing that their record against teams above 500 is 37-42.
Yeah.
So I'm looking at these other wildcard teams, and Boston's kind of sticking out to me.
Boston played the Braves really tough.
Their home record is really good.
Yeah.
They've been playing well against teams above 500. And if I look at their schedule here, they've got a series coming up against the Nationals. Their next few games are at Washington, at the Yankees, at Houston. And then they're home against the Dodgers and Astros to close out August. Ooh.
So that's kind of rough schedule.
But then they get in September, they get the Royals, they get the White Sox, but they also have to play the Rays, Rangers, Orioles, and Yankees. So I don't know with Boston, but they're just sticking out to me.
They're just interesting enough. Like James Paxton's still doing well. They just got Chris Sale back, which I know doesn't mean necessarily a lot, but it's still something. And the lineup has a bunch of guys that are just like pretty good. Like,
yeah.
Again, like, I don't know. Yoshida's
been pretty decent for a rookie.
Yeah, but it's just like he kind of is who we thought he was, you know? Or he's just like decent, you know? Duvall.
It's really just Devers leading the team.
Yeah, as and far Devers as has been really good, but not like no one's going to confuse Devers to be an MVP candidate this year. You know, he's a really good 3-4 hitter, and that's about it. Trevor Story is back, and
yes, he is.
He struggled his first couple games back, and then today he was 4-for-4. So, like,
yeah,
you know, if Trevor Story is like a real guy, then that is going from the worst shortstop production in baseball to good shortstop production. So that's like you got to you know, consider those things. But there's still it's just a weird roster. It's so hard to like.
It's hard to know what they're going to do.
But Pablo Reyes is playing second base right now. Tristan Casas has been really good. But like then Connor Wong, they picked up Luis Urias for like nothing. And I think most people like him. But like, is he actually good? You know, I don't know. The pitching's just kind of all over the place.
I'm looking here. Yeah, I'm looking at the pitching right now. Like the bullpen has a really good 1-2 combo in Jansen and Martin to close out a game. Right. But it's the other guys that you got to worry about.
Yeah, it's just it's kind of like a team where like you can see how this works, but you can also see how it doesn't work. You know, it's very polarizing, I feel like.
Yeah.
as opposed to the Blue Jays, which feels like it should be a much better roster, but then ultimately, like, they're not doing much better.
Well, then you got the Mariners here who have gotten hot, and they've got...
Mariners are super hot.
They've got... So, they close out August with a series against the Royals, and then a series against the Astros, but then they get the White Sox, the Royals again, and then the A's.
Oh, wow. To close out August. They got a really good stretch here.
Yeah, and then, like, it looks like September will be tough. I mean, they get the Mets for three, which... And then the Reds, which, you know, the Reds are the Reds right now, but then they get the Rays, Dodgers, Rangers, Astros, Rangers again this month.
Man, that is a bizarre schedule. It's like a month of, like, cupcakes and then a month of hell.
Yeah.
Like, it's two, weird. Three, maybe, like, 3 weeks of hell, you know?
And then the other one, the Jays, it's they've got the Phillies for two this week, then the Reds, then the O's, Guardians, Nats. September, they get the Rockies, the A's, Royals, Rangers, Red Sox.
My gut
says... Yankees, Rays. I feel like, man, I feel like the Rays, the Jays may just squeak out that third spot.
Yeah, I would think I'd still go with the Jays, even with the weirdness they've had, just because the talent is so good. I'll hedge it this way. If Bo comes back, I'm very confident putting them there. It seems like he'll make a comeback at some point. Is it clear yet when he's coming back? I don't know if I haven't been tuned in.
I haven't exactly seen his
situation. You know, so that they can play him instead of our favorite guy, Paul DeJong.
So they thought he could play this weekend. But
they're holding out a little bit.
It doesn't look like it. He's got to show that he could run the bases without issue.
But then we got to mention real quick, the Blue Jays have that weird second baseman that's like lighting the world on fire. So they've had some like interesting...
Oh, yeah. What's his name? Schneider.
Schneider? Is that his name?
Yeah, Davis Schneider.
Schneider. That's it.
7 games, he's hitting .400 with 2 homers, 5 driven in.
Insane, like... His first series was like 9 hits or whatever. He set a record. So I don't know if that's like a guy, but it helped having even just little bursts like that gets you through a wild card race, you know? So,
and like this rotation could be like,
it should be the best
Gausman,
one.
Gausman is having a good season. Yeah. Bassett's been okay. Berrios having a good season. Yusei Kikuchi is having a good season.
Yeah, and then they got Ryu
which
back.
Is wild to me. Yeah, they got Ryu back, which I didn't think Ryu was ever going to pitch again. Yeah,
it's been a while. So they should be the best rotation out of this group, maybe minus, you know, the Mariners, depending how you feel about them.
Yeah, and like their bullpen, like I'm looking at the Jays bullpen, like this is a solid bullpen, too. Yeah,
they kind of did, like, the Braves thing.
Genesis Cabrera hasn't allowed a run since he...
Yeah, they get to just plug in Jordan Hicks as, like, a 7th, 8th inning guy, and, you know...
Yeah.
It's pretty nice. So I'd still lean them, and then take your pick of whoever lasts from the Rays and Orioles, and then it's the Astros. So, like, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
I would love to see the Mariners make a big run. I think it's Mariners fighting down, you know, trying to chase down the Blue Jays, pretty much.
Yeah,
I don't really see another scenario.
Come October, I think the final wild card standings will be Orioles in the 1 spot, Astros in the 2 spot, Jays in the 3 spot, and you'll get Jays, Twins, and Orioles, so Astros.
The Angels are basically dead in the water. The Yankees are.
I think the Yankees are basically dead in the water.
And
yeah, I don't think that Yankees team's going to do anything. The Guardians
are. They really need to win the division. Because if they're not winning the division, then they probably didn't do good enough to make the wild card.
Yeah. Well, they're a Minnesota collapse away from that. I mean,
will the worst wild card team have a better record than the Twins or whoever wins the Central?
Oh, 100%, because Toronto currently has a better record than them.
Yeah, that's an exciting race to follow, even with the Twins playing okay recently. So that's pretty fun with quotes.
So that'll be interesting to see as the season gets ready to wind down over the next month and a half. So, hey, we've had a big week, 2 weeks in baseball, really. We had a huge fight 2 weeks ago, you know, ironically happening on the same night as I think it was Jake Paul versus Nate Diaz in SummerSlam for the WWE. And then this week we had the Michael Lorenzen no-hitter. So what I wanted to talk about is, you know, some amazing games that we've attended and, you know, ones that we wish we could have. Because, like, a no-hitter is rare.
Yeah.
And a benches clearing brawl is also pretty rare as well.
It would be something to see, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm going to ask you this first before we get into this. Which would you rather see? Would you rather see the no-hitter or the benches clearing brawl?
Ooh. Is this just me? Like, am I Dylan?
This is just you as you know, who you are. Which would you rather see?
I think I'd rather see the fight. Because, like, I think the no-hitter is super cool, but, like, with me, like, I wouldn't feel that special about seeing a different team's no-hitter, you know? Like, I mean, it would obviously be special, but, like, you know, it's really cool, but it means a lot more if you regularly go to these games and you're invested in the team that's doing it.
Right.
Like, I'm just not, unless it's the Braves doing it. The fight, we've only seen so many of these ever, you know? Like,
right.
If you just want to break it down from a stats perspective, like, how many no-hitters have there been, and how many, like, fist fights have there been?
Big fights, yeah.
At least in the last 100 years, probably not that many.
There was that big Braves-Padres fight back in the 90s. That's, like, one of my favorite John Boy breakdowns.
Yeah. Then, like, Jose Bautista was
Rougned Odor.
That was kind of the classic of the modern era. And this one's, like, I still think the Bautista one maybe has a little more weight. The Odor.
Just because of what happened in the postseason the year prior.
Yeah, there's just a lot more funny things going on. And the Tim Anderson part of it's just a little sad. And the White Sox part of it's a little sad. But, you know, I think I would just be, like, losing my mind if I saw, like, a fight that big in a baseball game.
Yeah, I completely agree.
And it's okay if you pick Lorenzen because you're a Phillies fan. Like, I don't expect you to go the opposite way.
Here's the thing. And I'm going to get into this in a moment, but I've already seen a no-hitter live.
Oh, yeah.
So getting into some cool games that I've attended, one of the coolest ones was, I mean, not as a Phillies fan, it wasn't cool, but as a baseball fan, it was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
It was Josh Beckett's no-hitter in 2014. And just, like, watching him go and, like, at this time, Josh Beckett was not a good pitcher.
Right.
And, like, he went out there and did that. It was wild to me to see that. And it's very surreal to see it in person. So I thought that was, like, just an awesome thing to see.
Yeah.
And then, like, another thing that was really cool was I got to see Bryce Harper's debut as a Philly.
Yeah.
And the whole energy in the stadium was just wild because everyone was behind him and wanting to see him, you know, be Bryce, you know, and it's just, like, really, really cool to see in person.
Yeah.
So those are, like, two of the really good ones that I've gotten to see, but, like, there's also a bunch that I wish I could have been at. I know you have a few, so I'll let you go through yours first.
Yeah, so I guess, you know, when you brought this up, like, I struggle with the ones that I've been to because I'm not in a major league city or a major league region, you know, I'm kind of limited in the ones that I have seen. Like, the most, like, I saw Freddie's 250th home run. Like, that's kind of cool. It doesn't mean that much, but it's like, you know, they put on the scoreboard. That's fine. I've seen some good game, like, notable games that we saw, like, I went with our friend John a few years ago and saw Sean Newcomb out duel Max Scherzer, you know, in Nats Park, which is funny. I saw Julio Teheran throw a one hitter in New York, you know, so I've seen, like, fun kind of things like that that aren't, like, historic, I don't think, but are kind of interesting. Right. But I did, when you posed it, I did think about the ones that I would want to be at. And as a Braves fan, the first one's easiest because it's being in Houston for game 6 when Jorge Soler hits the home run. Like, just that game or that home, even just being in the space for that home run would have been just the most, like, insane feeling. I mean, watching it on TV felt insane, but imagine being, like, especially, and I don't know, if this is a little bit of a bias as someone that probably have seen a lot fewer live MLB games as you, but I think there would be something particularly, like, goosebumpsy, like goosebumpsy. It's kind of funny about being an opposing team fan in that building when everyone's just probably like, "Oh no," and you're just like, "Oh yes." I think there would be a really like I wouldn't even know what to do with myself kind of excitement, you know, because I think everyone else would obviously bring insane excitement if that happened in your home park, but in a way, and you just hear the murmurs of everyone else while you're freaking out.
Just the silence over the stadium.
Because all the Braves fans that were there were losing their minds, and all the Astros fans were just like, oh my God, this is actually it. The other one that was like really obvious to me when I think about, I'm limiting this to like my lifetime for the most part. And games that I could realistically have seen. So I'm not going to put like the Braves winning the World Series in 95 because I would have been a child or would have been 3 years old. So like I just don't really, you know, like Sid Bream, stuff like that would be great too, obviously. But Jason Hayward's debut is like probably the most in my mind, like the loudest I've ever seen an Atlanta game outside, at least outside of the playoffs, you know. He hit that home run, and the video clip of that just sounds like, you know, the place is going to explode. It was still Turner Field at the time. And, you know, Jason went on to be a good Brave, not a, you know, great Brave or whatever, but it's just one of those like lightning in a bottle, you know, everyone freaking out moments that I think.
That's kind of how it was when I saw Harper's debut. Yeah. And Hoskins hit the grand slam.
Yeah.
Like it was wild. And actually Kutch led off the season with his first home run as a Philly.
That was against us, wasn't it?
Yep, that was against the Braves.
Yeah, that
was the Tehran was the opening day starter.
No way, was he really?
He was, yep.
My God.
Yep.
This was 2019.
Jesus. Tehran versus Nola.
That's so crazy to think about. Yeah, because we were really like that was one of those like oh my god we suck because we didn't have any pitching to start the season, and then it turned out okay, you know, can't complain. We've had a couple of those against the Phillies. It happened in I think 2021 as well, where it's like oh god we suck, and then it's like just kidding, 100 games.
Yeah, when we play each other it's weird, like both teams are kind of on like an even playing field when they play each other.
I can definitely,
they bring out the best in each other.
And Bryce Harper just, you know, like I said, continuing.
He's a Braves killer.
Yeah, he has just been a thorn in our side forever. So, and there's also a mutual respect and stuff that goes into that with Harper.
Yeah.
That is, it's fun. And I hate the fact that he's so good, but it's fun. And then I had actually two written down that aren't Braves games.
One of them is one of my picks. Yes. It's the first one you've got here.
And so it's the Cubs and Indians Guardians game 7 World Series. And it's just because like if I think about the best games of like the modern generation, that's usually the first one that I think of. And I think there might be others, and this other one that I'm going to mention might qualify too, but like,
so that one's not the first one for me. Yeah. But that's my favorite World Series of all time.
Yeah, I think that World Series was so crazy, and those two teams that you could just feel they wanted it so bad.
Yeah.
And the circumstances of, you know, it was like a pitcher's duel most of the game, and then just, you know, Cleveland gets its huge moment, and then there's the rain delay. You know, it's just there's such an insane amount of tension in that game that it's like not even funny. You know, it was just like if I was there as a fan, I would just be like my heart would be being ripped out and shoved back into my chest constantly. And you know, the Cubs won in Cleveland, which I guess is not like the most like satisfying thing, but you know, it ended the curse for them, and you know, still it was one of the team was ending a pretty long term curse. And the Cubs happen to have the longest.
As someone who watched the curse of the Eagles get broken, like I get how that feels and like how that must have felt for that fan base.
Well, like in a singular moments of the last 20 years, it's hard to beat Rajay Davis's home run. You know, as weird as 100%. It is now, you know, it didn't even win them the game, but like, man, like just moments in history I would have liked to be at, it would have been that. And the other one, the
ballpark exploded, man. Yeah, like, it's just sound different.
Yeah.
And then Joe Buck's call, Davis in the left. Like, it's just wild.
Yeah. Then the other one I thought related to World Series was the Rays and Dodgers game 4 of the 2020 World Series. So this is a, you know, kind of strange. So like, you know, it's not a lot of fans there, still COVID. Yeah. So they were like, some fans allowed, some not, blah, blah, blah. But just based on the pure game itself, I would have like, can I like envision this in a universe where like we were in, you know, Tampa?
Yeah.
Instead or something like that, like or Dodger Stadium, like, and then that happens. And for anyone that can't remember that specific game, it's the game where Brett Phillips hits the drive to center field. It gets bobbled by Chris Taylor. The run, you know, the ball comes in to Will Smith and Randy Rosarena's dead to rights because he's tripping over himself, and Will Smith loses the ball and Randy, you know, scampers home. Is just, you know, the most chaotic ending to a game I think I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
And to see that live, I would have just been it's another one of those where it's just like I don't know how my body would react.
Yeah.
Even if I didn't wasn't rooting for anyone, like I don't, like I would just be like, this is just singularly the craziest thing I would ever see.
Yeah. So something I wish I could have been at, and like one of these I had the opportunity to be at and I chose not to because I had watched every game at home with my grandmother, but it was the game 5 of the NLCS last year where Harper hits the nuke, the swing of his life. I had the opportunity to go to that game and I chose not to because I did not want to jinx the Phillies. And you know, part of me wishes I had gone to that. So another one that we didn't mention, that's like a non-Phillies game, but game 6 between the Cardinals and Rangers in the World Series, where David Freese hits the walk-off.
Yeah. Yeah, that's another one of those just like singular like moments that jumps out.
And like, looking back on it, the Rangers had the opportunity to win the World Series twice in that game, and they blew it both times.
Yeah.
It's just, Feliz blew it the first time. I think it was it Oliver that blew it the second time? I forget who it was that blew it the second time. But like they had two opportunities. And I remember, so I was a kid in high school and I'm staying up late to watch this game because like this is when I was like really, really invested in baseball. And I would watch every postseason game and like that was my thing. And I'm just like up until 1 a.m. watching this game, freaking out, like just as a baseball fan, because like it's one of the craziest games I've experienced watching. It was just super cool. And like, I hate the Cardinals, man, but like, God, like just like the Joe Buck call of "We will see you tomorrow night," just echoing his father during that Twins World Series. Just like so cool. As like someone who's a baseball nerd.
I had one more on my end, before you want to finish yours. The Jose Bautista game.
Yeah, that was the other one on my list.
Yeah,
the Bautista game.
Jose Bautista just officially retired this year, which has been I feel like this week retired like five years ago. We
did not talk about that. He signed the contract this week.
Yeah, he retired as a Blue Jay, and obviously, like, you know, fun career, especially, you know, the period. I mean, it's basically his entire career was the Blue Jays. You know, he was with several other teams, but it was Blue Jays. You know, Blue Jays legend. And that home run is like the coolest home run like ever. Like, I mean, it didn't mean win a World Series. It didn't win a game.
It's like, wild because you can see the camera shake from how loud the Rogers Center got.
I think that's the loudest single like scene I've ever seen.
And it's like, you know, Cole Hamels had thrown a great game and then they had to go to the bullpen. I think it was Dyson that gave up the home run.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Sam Dyson.
Yeah, and it's just like looking at that one like that, and that started that rivalry between the Rangers and Blue Jays that led to Odor clocking Bautista. Like that's another good one. And then even that, like the wild card game between the Jays and the O's, in which it's like, where's Zach Britton? And Ubaldo gives up the nuke to Edwin. God. And like that place exploded. Like, Blue Jays fans are loud when they get to the playoffs, man.
And so in the Rogers Center in particular.
Rogers Center is extremely loud.
Yeah, the indoor parks are going to sound like, you know, just so much crazier.
Yeah, but like even so, like Houston, is kind of an indoor park, and they've had the roof closed a few times during games, but it's never gotten as loud as the Rogers Center.
Yeah, they're special there.
Those games are fun. And, you know, just trying to think of, you know, some other games here. Phillies Dodgers in the NLCS in 09, I think it was game 4, where Rollins hits the walk-off against Jonathan Broxton.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's one that I wish I could have been at, because, you know, it's another loud one. And then, of course, the final out in 08, you know.
Yeah.
Who doesn't want to be there for that? Yeah, I mean, that pretty, was incredible. Pretty same,
yeah. There's some big, like, comebacks that the Braves have had. Like, there's a notable one. I think they beat the Marlins, coming back, like, 8 runs a couple years ago. Mm-hmm. Those qualify pretty high for me just because of, like, the insane in-game. You know, there's context doesn't really matter. It's just the game was so ballistic, you know, that it's worth just, like, being on that list.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I've mentioned it before, but, like, I'm sure there are plenty of historic ones that we would have been just like, wow, this has been a crazy place to be, you know, but there's too many of those to think to choose from, you know, like the amazing moments in time.
I think Strasburg's debut would have been cool to be at too.
Yeah.
Because that was like one of the most electric pitcher debuts we've ever seen.
Yeah. Pitcher debuts are unique.
They're a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I can't wait for, well, it's going to be a long time, but like I was really excited for Andrew Painter to come up this year because I had planned on going to see whatever his first start as a Philly would have been. That's not happening, but whatever.
Hopefully
2025 if he's not traded. we know Dombrowski, but you know, that's just a few games that we've been to. Another one that I've been to that I forgot to mention was actually my first MLB game, the JD Drew Battery game. So I don't know if you know about this one, but that is when Phillies fans threw batteries at JD Drew. and it was all because he was drafted by the Phillies and refused to sign there.
My God.
Yeah.
I wonder why.
Yeah, that was the first game my dad ever took me to as a kid.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So, and I just had that, like, sitting up in, like, the 400 level in the vet, this concrete piece of garbage, and just watching batteries rain down on JD Drew, and, like... That's like one of my earliest sports memories. So
yeah, that is a pretty crazy one.
Well, yeah, that's just a few.
Would you have been throwing batteries if you were an adult?
I'm not.
You can plead the fifth.
I don't know. You know, I think if I was at today's game, I probably would have stormed the field to get my hands around Alex McKay for those absurd calls. There's a few games that I've wanted to storm the field, but never have. Like, anytime, like, the Mets do something, it's just like... especially when they're in the stadium and they're just, like, loud and cocky. There's nothing worse than obnoxious Mets fans live. Like, they're so bad. Like even, like, a minor league baseball game, like, going to Iron Pigs games, like, Mets fans will take over our stadium when their AAA team comes here. And it's like... ridiculous, because they're like talking all this crap, and I'm just like you guys aren't even making the playoffs this year and you're insufferable. Like, just shut up.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, but that's just a few games that we've been to, and, you know, ones that we want to see. You know, if you guys have any that you've been to or you've seen, you know, let us know in the comments. You know, love to see, you know, some stuff that you've been to. So that's going to do it for us today. Dylan, thank you for joining me as always.
Yeah, no problem at all.
And, you know, thank you everyone for listening. Rain Delay Radio is executive produced by Luis. Our theme music is composed by Chuck Leese. Rain Delay Radio was hosted this week by myself, Patrick, and Dylan, and was edited by Naeem. Rain Delay Radio will release every Monday morning at 1 a.m. Thank you everyone for listening to us, and we'll see you all next week. Bye-bye.